Today's Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah verses 61 through verses 1 through 4. Please follow me in your pew Bibles on page 691 in the Old Testament. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance on our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities and the devastations of many generations. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Last week, John read from the book of Luke about when Jesus was 12 and engaged in conversation in the temple, and how he was obedient and how he grew in wisdom. Today we join Jesus when he's 30. He's been baptized, filled with the power of the Spirit. He's gone off into the wilderness for 40 days, been tempted by the devil, and he's now back out of the wilderness. Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Luke, and it's the beginning of Jesus' Galilean ministry. So listen for God speaking as we read Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21, which I believe is on page 61 of the Pew Bibles. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We all love it when someone from our hometown makes good and becomes well known for it. Jesus has been teaching in the surrounding areas, and now he's home. Hasn't he grown into a fine young man? Oh, he's so articulate and confident. Doesn't he look good? That wilderness air did him well. And he's single, too. People were excited to hear him speak at first. Those of you following We Make the Road by Walking also know that the reading assignment for this week goes on for several more verses and is actually a whole nother lectionary piece. And Jesus makes it clear in that piece that his message is for outsiders too. And after he said that, the people wanted to throw him off a cliff. I'm hoping you won't feel that way about me today. Today we're going to focus on the front end of this piece, the verses we just read. Imagine the scene. People are sitting in their favorite pew, chatting before worship. Oh, Jesus is in town. He's been teaching in other synagogues. I wonder if he'll teach today. Ooh, better settle down. Worship is starting. The service begins with the usual prayers and a psalm, and sure enough, Jesus comes forward to read from the scroll. He finds the passage he wants and reads the particular verses from Isaiah that I just read. It was the custom in that time to stand for the reading of the scripture and then to sit down to teach. And so Jesus sits down and the people anxiously await to hear what he has to say. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That's it. Perhaps the world's shortest sermon. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And people say, my sermons are short. Jesus would have flunked any seminary preaching class. His sermon was too short, he had no jokes or illustrations, and he didn't go on to explain his point. But Jesus obviously thought it was enough. That's why he chose this messianic passage from the book of Isaiah. And all these many centuries later, the message is the same. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Only 9 words. 9 words that changed everything. This Friday, January 20th, Donald Trump will become the 45th president of the United States. After taking the oath of office, he will give his inaugural address, which is a speech given to inform the people of his intentions as a leader. The scripture and statement we just heard from Jesus is his agenda. It is an outline of his ministry, a statement of his vision, and the foundation of his mission. This that we heard today was Jesus' inaugural address. That is why the writer of Luke places it near the front of his book, unlike some of the other writers. Through 30 years of preparation, Jesus is clear about who he is and why he is here. Jesus speaks of how society is to be changed, how people need to transform and become gentler and kinder. His message was for the people of the day, and his message is for us today. Earlier, we heard Forrest read from the book of Isaiah. Note that when Jesus read from Isaiah, he left out all talk of vengeance. He only spoke of release, recovery, freedom, and good news. Jesus was speaking to everyone that could hear him, and he is speaking to all of us. For we are all captive, broken, and blind in some way. Jesus is claiming all of us to be transformed and to take part in that transformation. Today. Some of us live in the past. We long for the simpler days of old, for the way things used to be. Some of us can't move ahead from circumstances or relationships in the past, both good and bad. and we get stuck there. Some of us strive to exist in the future. Someday things will be better. Or I'm waiting for X to happen, and then I'll do Y. As Michael Marsh says, with one foot in the past and one in the future, we straddle and completely miss the present. We become captive to what was, oppressed by what might be, and blind to what is. And I couldn't agree more with him, for we are shaped by the past and we plan for the future, but we live in today. Today. Today is where we meet Jesus. Today, in the present moment, regardless of our personal circumstances. Jesus calls for the restoration of this world. Jesus calls for the transformation of our lives. And Jesus calls for these things now, today. And if we call ourselves follower of Jesus, then we gladly and gratefully take on this yoke. I used to think of a yoke as a burden, even though Jesus says it isn't. This pastor's stole is a form of a yoke. In the old days, when oxen were used to plow the fields, pull heavy loads, and for so many things, their master would yoke them so that they could steer and maneuver and direct them. This yoke, this pastor's stole, goes on to remind us that Christ is our master. And he is the one who steers and directs us. Many people in Jesus' day were disappointed in this Messiah. They wanted him for themselves, and they wanted him to charge in on a white horse with trumpets and power. And if we're honest, we're often the same. We want Jesus to take care of business, to answer our prayers, to fix things. But Jesus shows us by his life and death and resurrection that he is not just a fixer, he is the way. Jesus calls each one of us to invest ourselves in the kingdom of God, to invest ourselves in the kingdom of God today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The Spirit of the Lord is within us. And so we are all called. And no matter how inadequate you or I may feel at times, we are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Christ, and we are each called to ministry. In a world of so much change and turmoil, where natural and man-made disasters seem rampant, where there is so much need, where we sometimes struggle to see God at work, this can seem totally daunting. Where do we begin? Here, today, now. How do we do it? With kindness and compassion. Let every thought and action we have be directed by God. Each of us has a call and a role to play. Jesus had the power of the Spirit, and we do too. We are called because the Spirit is around us, beside us, and within us. Respond to the Spirit in you, and respond to the Spirit in each other. every breath we take is a sign that we are alive today. Every breath we take is a gift. Every breath we take is a call to action. And the Spirit is there to guide and direct us in that breath. Today, don't waste a breath. Let us pray. Living, loving, empowering God, guide us to reflect, honor, and serve you with every thought, action, and breath we take. In Jesus' name, amen.